can take your Bible and turn to the book of James. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, and then I will read through the end of the chapter. But before I read, I want to ask a question. What do a talking philanthropist, demons, and a corpse have in common? And what does the friend of God and the harlot have in common? And as I read this text, I want you to listen very carefully to several words which are the key to understanding this. The word faith is going to be mentioned over and over again. And the word works. As you're studying the Bible, you ought to note words that are repeated over and over again. They are the key to understanding the text. In addition to those two words, you're going to find the word dead three times. And then the word justified three times. And so listen as we read. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. This is an incredible text in the book of James, and has been misunderstood by many. And because of that misunderstanding, folks have believed and taught that the Apostle Paul and the brother of Christ were at odds with one another in their teaching. For it's very clear in the letters of Paul that we are justified by faith alone. And the cry of the gospel is that we're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merit of Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. So what does James mean when he says that, don't you see that you're justified by works? Men like Voltaire looked at passages like this and said, these prove that the Bible is not inspired. Might be interesting for you to know that Martin Luther struggled to include the book of James in the canon of the Bible because of this text. And I believe as we go through it, you're going to understand exactly what the brother of Jesus Christ was trying to say. Faith, works, dead, justified, key words. There are several key expressions I want to point out to you that you need to understand, and I think they will give you understanding of the text. The word show is found twice in verse 18. In verse 22, you see, and in verse 24, you see. Different Greek words are used those three times, and they are the key to understanding what James is trying to say. The heart of this message is this. The only way that you can demonstrate faith, saving faith, justifying faith, is by your works. I mean, how do you see faith? What is faith? It is believing God. Well, how do I know that you believe God? I have to see it. And here is an individual that comes along, and verse 14 says, if someone says he has faith, but he has what? Look at your text. No works. If you have the King James, it says, can faith save him? There's a definite article in the original, and it is, can that faith save him? And the faith that he is making reference to is the faith that doesn't have any works. In other words, does saving faith have works? And it doesn't matter what a person's profession is. They can say, listen, I believe God. I'm a believer. But when you look at their life, there is no change. There are no works. What James is trying to say, they don't have saving faith. I love what is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16, one of the most famous verses of the Bible. For God so loved the world, you know this verse? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Do you know that verb is in the present tense? For whosoever is believing shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, we are called believers. And a true Christian continues to believe all of his life. Matter of fact, the Bible says that without faith it is impossible to do what? To please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently see Him. But how can you and I see faith? We see it in the works in a believer's life. You see, there is such a thing as works without faith. A lot of people have ceremony. The Jewish people look to their rituals and their circumcision to save them. Others teach indulgences and pilgrimages and sacraments or baptisms or church attendance. The works. And yet there is no saving faith. And then there are others that teach faith without works. A profession without action. And James is addressing that. And it's very interesting that he, in verse 14 and verse 16, asks the question, what use is it? And then the end of verse 16, what use is it? And it is a word that speaks of profit. What profit is there in claiming to have faith and no works? You see, in the kingdom of God, I ask you this question, has your faith amassed a fortune or is it unemployed? See, your faith is either profiting the kingdom of God or your faith is unemployed. What word is used here in the text for unemployment? Look at verse 20. The New American Standard says, aren't you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is, in the New American Standard, useless? It's the same word that means inactive, unemployed, lazy. So we have to ask ourselves the question, in the kingdom of God, has your faith amassed a fortune, or is it unemployed? We have to ask ourselves the question that's asked in verse 20 when he says, are you a foolish fellow? Literally, are you empty, barren, same word that's used of a field that doesn't produce crops, of money that doesn't yield interest? So I want you to look at your life this morning with me. Does your life reflect that you've truly been born again? Are there works that follow your faith? The Bible teaches a faith that works. John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3, 8. Show me your repentance by your actions. That's exactly what he said. Show me that you've really repented by your deeds. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 said this, live in such a way that the world will see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You go through the book of Titus and of all the letters of the Apostle Paul, it is loaded with the expression good works and deeds. In the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul speaks about a faith that works by love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, he makes reference to the work that's produced by faith. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Beneficial deeds, good works. And he would instruct again in Titus, those who believe must maintain good works. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Bible says that we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll have to give an account for the things that we have done in the body. So many churches have services, but there is no service. And so in the moments that we have left together, I want to share five things with you about saving faith. What does it look like? Number one. Saving faith is orthodox in its creed and recognizes the nature of God. And you see that in verse 19. For James would write, you believe that God is one. He said, now you do well to believe that. And by the way, he says, but the demons also believe. And they tremble. Literally, the word says, the hair stands up and the skin gets goose pimples. They are literally agitated by who God is. James says, it is true that you believe that God is one. That comes out of one of the most famous passages in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy. It comes from a section called the Shema. The word in Hebrew for hear is Shema. And that great text begins by saying, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And it's not that He's one person. The word that is used there in the text is a word that speaks of a compound unity. The doctrine of the triunity of God is found not only in the New Testament, it's found in the Old Testament as well. And what James is saying is this. It is an incredible thing for you to recognize the true nature of God. Saving faith understands who God is. And you do well, James says, if you confess that. Number two, saving faith accomplishes much for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. I made reference to that in verse 20. It is not unemployed. And in verses 14 and 16, it amasses a fortune for the kingdom of God. Do you know why more is not being accomplished in the kingdom? Because we don't believe God. We're not stepping out in faith to see God, this one true God, act in time. Number three, saving faith is alive with good works. And that is why he makes reference in verse 17 that if faith doesn't have works, it's what? It's dead, being by itself. In other words, if there's just the claim, I believe, and yet there's no work in that person's life, and in a moment we're going to talk about those works, there's no evidence. He said, listen, don't deceive yourself. That faith's dead. And he would repeat that again in verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. There's nothing living about that faith. Oh, foolish person, James says, don't be deceived by that. So I ask you again, look at your life. Is there any evidence in your life that you really believe? James would use a number of illustrations here in the text. Look at verse 15 and 16. If someone says, I've got faith, but there's no work, can that type of faith save him? Look at 15. If a brother or a sister is without one and in need of one, and one of you says to them, oh, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, and yet you do not give them what's necessary for their body. What use is that? You see, James was one of the leaders in a very poor church. In the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 35, chapter 6 and verse 1, chapter 11, verses 29 through 30, and in chapter 15, you discover that the church in Jerusalem was poor. And Paul, in the book of Galatians, says this, don't forget the poor. The Bible says your faith is useless and is not amassing a fortune in the kingdom of God if you know someone needs clothes and you don't give them clothes. And if you know that someone is in need of daily food and you say, listen, I hope you get filled up. God bless you. Listen, you don't have saving faith. You can confess that you know who God is, but God is the one who's good and He gives. If you were to study all of the references in the New Testament to good deeds, works, you discover it touches the family life. For a widow would be put on the roll and receive help from the church if she had a reputation for good works. And then the Bible lists some of those in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if she's brought up children. Some of you that are bringing up or have brought up children, you know that it's work. And it's a good work too. If she's shown hospitality to strangers, are you the type of person that will open up your home to strangers? Someone mentioned to me the other day how thankful they were that this group of people in this place have opened up their building to strangers. If they've washed the saints' feet, if they've assisted those in distress. Paul and Barnabas were church planters, and in Acts chapter 13 and in chapter 14, the Bible says that church planning and evangelism is a good work. Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, do the work of an evangelist. Those that are in church leadership are said to be doing the Lord's work. A pastor or overseer in that office is in a good work. to have charge over people and give them instruction in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is a good work. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, if you will exercise your gift that God has given you to the body to build it up, it is a good work. If you support missionaries who have gone out for the sake of His name, 3 John in verse 5 says it is a good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 8 through 13 says, if you will give to meet the needs of the poor saints and all men, it is a good work. We could go on and on. There are a lot of illustrations of good works. But there's something that's common to them all, and it is this. A beneficial deed makes your life given for others. The issue is, are you living for others? You see, saving faith is alive with good works. Fourthly, saving faith is always seen by others. Faith is not visible apart from works. I was typing this last night, and my wife couldn't read what I was typing. We were discussing this text, and she said this, right as I was typing that, seeing is believing. I said, honey, that's so true. That's exactly what this text is trying to say. And that is why in verse 18 he says, show me, show me. And that is why he says in verse 22, you see. And in verse 24, you see. You see, saving faith is always seen by other people. You can claim to have faith, but can you substantiate it by what you do? Now, having said that, let's look at these final two illustrations. And then our last point. Beginning in verse 21, he's going to talk about Abraham and a harlot. And in this section, he speaks of justification. And he asks the question, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? And then in verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works. The key is, you see, a man is justified by works. And then he mentions it again in verse 25, justified, the harlot was also justified by works. And so is James teaching that we are justified by what we do? Don't miss what he's saying here. I have a question for you. I have a quotation in verse 23 from the Old Testament scriptures. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. By the way, that expression is found in the passive tense. And it's not something Abraham did, it was something God declared about Abraham. Anybody know what chapter in the book of Genesis this quotation is from? The chapter 15 of the book of Genesis. When Abraham put his faith in the gospel, for Paul would say in the book of Galatians that the gospel was preached to Abraham. And then he tells us exactly what God said to Abraham. God told Abraham that he would have a seed, singular, and that seed would be the Messiah. And the Bible says Abraham put his faith in his coming seed, the Messiah, and God declared him righteous. Literally justified Abraham. Now, an incident is made reference to in verse 21. The offering up of his son Isaac. Now, what chapter in Genesis is that from? 22. How many years after Abraham was declared righteous by God did he offer up Isaac? I was hoping some of you could give me that answer, because I don't know specifically, but I know this. Isaac hadn't even been born when God just declared him righteous. And I know this, that Isaac was old enough to carry some wood to the top of the mountain. So maybe he was in his early teens. I don't know. But I do know this, that the illustration here and the point of this discussion is James is saying this. Abraham demonstrated that he had saving faith because years later he offered up his own son. And it wasn't the offering up of his own son that was his righteousness. See? It was that works followed his faith. You understand what I'm trying to say here? And the same illustration about Rahab the harlot. She believed what God had told her about the people of God. And it was later on that she did what? She hid the spies and she let them out her window along the wall. Why? And that work demonstrated that she had already been declared righteous by God. That is the point that James is saying. He is using those two people to illustrate the point that, listen, saving faith works. Saving faith takes a man like Abraham and turns him into the friend of God. Saving faith takes a woman like a harlot and changes her life to become a follower of the one true God. See, when God saves somebody, he never leaves them where they are at or who they are. You see, God saves all sinners who will come. It doesn't matter if a person was a harlot before they came to Christ. When they put their faith in Christ, they have a new standing in the presence of God. They're justified because of the work of Christ. But I'll tell you something, their life will change. They won't continue to be a harlot. And it doesn't matter what sexual sin you make reference to, God changes us when we come to Christ and we start to live the gospel. Not only in those areas, but all areas of our life. There is change in the life of a believer. And he demonstrates the fact that he's truly born again by these changes. Faith works. And the last point I want to point out to you today is that saving faith matures all of your life. In verse 22, he says, you see that faith was, look at this next expression, working with his works, and as a result of works, faith was what? Perfected. It is faith that prompts obedience, and yet your entire life, your faith will be strengthened, matured, and brought to its intended goal. And the works of your life will demonstrate that. And you too, with Abraham, can be called a friend of God. You know what he's saying there? As you obey, you will be driven closer to God and you'll get to know him. I'll become his friend. I'll have a relationship with God. It's vibrant. He became a friend of God. Do you have an empty profession? Or do you have a life that demonstrates you believe? You see, for faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained an approval. For by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Because he believed, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, and through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous. Why? Because his works followed his belief. And God says, listen, this is how you know he's righteous. God was testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And how about Enoch, who was taken up that he would not see death? You know, he was not found because God took him up. And he obtained this witness that he was pleasing to God. Why? Because he had a life that worked. And he preached the gospel. Do you know that Enoch preached the second coming of Christ before Christ ever came the first time? Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. And what was he preaching? You read about it in the book of Jude. Anybody know? He's preaching that the Lord's going to come with 10,000 of his holy ones. He's preaching the second coming of Christ before Christ ever came the first time. How about this one? How about Noah? Did he have any work in his life that demonstrated he was born again? The text says he built an ark for the salvation of his household. We've already made reference to Abraham, who left his country and lived in the land of promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He was looking for the city without foundations. And my friend, if you are a believer today, this world is not your home. And you are looking for that city that has no foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And your life will be characterized by the lies in Hebrews chapter 11. People that blessed Jacob and Esau. And though they were dying, Joseph, who said, listen, take my bones out of Egypt. Why did he say that? Because God had promised that 400 years after you start in Egypt, you're going to leave Egypt. And Joseph believed that. And so he said, take my bones out of here. I'm going to leave with everybody else. And Moses, when he was born, he did what? He was hidden by his parents. And he was raised in the house of an Egyptian. And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he was willing to be ill-treated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Why? Because he considered the reproach of the Messiah greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. That was a man of faith, and he left Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. And he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea. It was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab the harlot didn't perish with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies. And what time do we have to even talk of people like Gideon, or Barak, or Samson, or Jephthah, or David, or Samuel and the prophets? And what did they do? These men of faith, these women of faith, did they just say, I believe? No, the Bible says that by faith they conquered kingdoms, they performed acts of righteousness, they shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the power of the swords, they quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, were mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received their dead back by resurrection, others were tortured, didn't accept their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mocking and scourging, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. Their bodies were cut in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins. They went about in goat's skins. They were destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. They were wandering in the deserts and the mountains and the caves and holes in the ground. Why were they willing to do all of this? Because they believed God. What does your life look like? Is it empty? Is it just a profession? Heaven help us. Heaven help us if we're foolish enough to believe that I can profess and there be no change, or nor work that demonstrates that faith. Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? Did we not whatever? depart from me. I never knew you. Saving faith. The faith that's not dead. Always works. You believe God and He'll change your life. You believe God and you'll start living for people. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that the truth from this passage would be used by your Spirit to help us to examine ourselves whether we're really in the faith. And Father, because you are the good one, the one true God, you always reproduce your nature in your children. And it is you who works in us both to do as well as to will. And we are so thankful that we have the example of your Son, who loved in word and deed. And Father, we are so thankful that we are secure in Him, that the righteousness that merits life has come from Him. We joy in the gospel of Christ. And yet, Father, we also know that your children are changed and their life is coupled with doctrine indeed. So speak to hearts as you would see fit today, I pray in Jesus' name.